WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are positively into bye week around here, which gives me a chance to sort of stretch out and catch up on some programming and talk to some folks. I'm back from my back ailment. The Maryland Lottery is sponsoring our fantastic Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll be in Perry Hall this week. Back in the hall, as I like to say. My son went to the hall, Perry Hall. We're going to be back at Silver Spring Mining Company this week from 2 to 5. David Marks is going to be joining us down the streets. So make sure you stop by, say hello, get a crab cake. We will be down in Fells Point next week and with our mayor, Brandon Scott, at Coco's in Lauraville on the 17th. We're also going to Fadley's. I got my Fadley shirt on. We'll be down there just like Al Roker was this morning. I've wanted to have this segment for a little while, and I've talked to a lot of politicians. I've talked to various police officers and people around the city and the counties. I've talked to county executives about this issue. And I think when I've driven around, not just our county and the city and the state, I've seen literally over the last 5 years a lot more on the opioid epidemic, whether you see it on national television, but certainly how it relates to here. And I traveled all over the state back in August having crab cakes. I've been waiting to have Senator Kathy Klossmeyer on. I've passed the garages up and down Bel Air Road and signs for most of my lifetime, Senator Kathy Klossmeyer. It's a pleasure to have you on. I know this is a tough piece, and I'm going to bring in a friend and someone that's been an advocate. You've been an advocate for a long time. Tony Torch joining us here from Rally to talk about the opioid epidemic and to really put a name, a face, and a story on how this is affecting us. Good morning to you, Senator. Good morning to you, Tony. I know it's always a difficult story to tell, but I know we've got a real cause here behind all this today. Do we not, Senator?
Yes, absolutely. And my journey or my cause started with Tony Torch. And Tony came to the office, and I'm not speaking for you, Tony, but this was my recollection. You and Carl, your husband, and another couple came. And they were saying how, you know, that their son had died of an overdose, and there was a heroin problem in Perry Hall, in the hall. And I said, okay.
Now, my son went to Perry Hall. My son graduated in 02. So, you know, my son went to Perry Hall middle. And I moved from Dundalk. And this is not to disparage Dundalk. I went to Colgate. I'm actually going to be there for the ribbon cutting with Johnny O at my new elementary school. But, you know, I grew up in East Baltimore. You know, I mean, all the problems
well,
of the modern world.
I moved
to Perry Hall thinking that that was a great environment for my son.
Yes. You know, literally. And it is. But my head was in the sand. And I was like, yeah, sure. Okay, Tony, go ahead. I'll let you talk a little bit.
So that's how my story started. It certainly didn't start, though, at the death of Dan, but that's how Senator Klossmeyer got connected. I started hearing about this miracle called naloxone, and I didn't know why. We didn't know anything about it as a family. Maybe Dan knew. It never came up. We never knew about it. And when I did some checking, the only place it was available was in Baltimore City. And the only time that anyone received it was a prescription had to be written to the person in addiction. And I thought, well, that just sounds crazy to me. How does someone save their own life with this? So that's what started it. And I probably knocked on every door that I could, that we could, or they would let us in, found out about the drug, went to Senator Klossmeyer, explained to her that what we think that we needed to do, besides being, this huge issue of heroin overdoses, drug overdoses, especially, you know, in her community, this is right in our backyard.
Well, Tony, this is, you went to the center after your tragedy was already complete, right? Like this,
yes.
your son is not alive. I would take me back to your son and the timing of all of this and what maybe you knew about addiction or heroin at that time. And when you find out that your son has a problem.
So, you know, really, I can tell you that heroin never was in my conversations ever. I have three sons, all active in school, in sports, very family oriented within our church.
And you're from Perry Hall,
I grew up. I grew up in Gardenville. We moved to Perry Hall in, I think it was 2001.
Okay.
And again, for the quote, the, you know, just a little bit of better life, there were three thugs breaking into my home one night when I was in, you know, in Gardenville. The next day I hammered the sign in that my yard myself. So that's how we got to Perry Hall. I didn't realize about Dan's addiction until he was 17. And he came to me one day and he said, what was, I have a pill problem. That was his words. I have a pill problem. So, you know, I work for the government. I have really good insurance. We got him in to a place, it seemed like within a couple of days. And
now, was this something you were shocked by, you know, at the time? I mean, I'm just from a parent standpoint, I can't imagine your anguish, but I'm just trying to understand how, because every time I talk to an officer, they talk about things you find in your home, warning signs that so that parents that, miss.
Yeah. You know what? When it got to be, you know, when it got to be, when he got closer to like 21, I did start seeing things around my house that just didn't make sense to me. Like, I didn't know why I was finding all these little orange caps and those pads that, you know, sometimes kids clean their face with. He worked at a hospital. I thought, well, I guess he's bringing home these alcohol pads for his face. Little caps, you know, like from your water bottles. Just typical stuff that kids just leave around. And I remember calling my sister, who's a nurse, and saying, what do you think all these little orange caps are? And she said, those are caps to syringes. And I was, so then I became the detective. I started ripping things apart. I found, when I say a huge garbage bag, it was probably a 13-gallon kitchen trash bag full of used needles and discarded tissues and things like that. Confronted him, and he broke down, and, you know, obviously he had to admit at that point it had gone to heroin. He had been in and out of treatment for inpatient, a couple of tries at outpatient. He was one of the first two in our area for Suboxone. And so it was for 7 years, it was up and down chaos. We tried relocating him to another state, where he was doing really well until, 2008, when everything started to tank, jobs started to be lost, you know, housing, and he moved back home. He hit rock bottom, which I call rock bottom, in the December of 2009, when we finally discovered that he had been hawking jewelry, things that I found that I never thought he would. You know, my husband has one thing left from his parents, one thing, and that's a family crest ring. And I found a slip that he hawked that ring. And so that was when, you know, it was, we knew then that, you know, we had to do something drastic.
Was there governmental help? I mean, obviously something brought you to Senator Klossmeyer's desk at the end of the end, but during this period where you're on trial trying to keep your son alive.
Absolutely. At that time, at that rock bottom time, I called everyone I could think of, and actually including Senator Klossmeyer's office, her assistant Renee Smith and I still can talk about that, trying to search for what do I do? Where do I go? I called Martin O'Malley's office. He was governor at that time. His office got back to me 6 months later. Because I was pleading with them, look, you've allowed this to happen on our streets. You've allowed the war on drugs to continue. Now you have to help me. You know, I'm a voter. You know, my son's a voter. You need to help us. And there wasn't advocacy at that time. If it was, it was pretty well hidden.
Tony, I want to reset. Tony Torch is here. We're talking about rallying. We're talking about saving lives and addiction and opioids. Senator Kathy Klossmeyer. Go ahead, Senator.
No, I was just going to say, as I said, when Tony came in the office and I had my head in the sand, and she was not even calling it Narcan at that point, it was Naloxone. And I even said to Renee at that point, I can't even really say that word. What is that? So time went on and Tony would call and then I'd say, OK, I'm looking at it. And I just didn't understand it. I couldn't figure out what was going on with it. And I'm telling you, what year was that, Tony?
That was in 2012.
Back then, you didn't talk about naloxone. You didn't know about naloxone. I didn't. Tony did, obviously, because she was looking at that. But prior to that, when she came in and said there were, I think you said, 5 overdoses in the Perry Hall area. And I thought, okay.
In a month.
Now there's a fentanyl issue. I mean, a decade later, there's more issues. But I think more than this is the stigma for your boy that there's jail, right, or hospitalization, and neither side would sort of accept it. Am I correct in saying that? That at that time, you're treated like a criminal when what you really need is hospitalization and help, and certainly where the government would be involved in that.
Yeah, and I'll be honest and just say that I just didn't know what to do, and I just didn't realize the problem was as bad as it was. But I had a very good friend who she nailed it when her daughter died, and I said, "All bets are off now." Because now I realize, it was like my biggest wake-up call. Tony started nudging me, but my friend Betty woke me up all the way. And that's when we said, okay, this is where we're headed, and what are we going to do? So Tony came down, and we worked on the bill, and if for having naloxone much more available. And so... it started, and I think the health department at that time was kind of like iffy. And so as we all went along, Tony came down, my friend Betty came down, many of the advocates came down and visited every senator and every House member they possibly could that had anything to do with this. And it wasn't the easiest bill to pass because everybody had their hands in it, the nurses, the doctors, and everybody had an opinion on this whole thing. And in the end, it's like, what was so hard for that to make that happen? I look back on that and think this was just common sense. But
Senator, I think if you're in Annapolis and you're talking to other people and other constituents, and clearly this isn't a right problem, a left problem, a black problem, a white problem, Eastern Shore, Western Shore. This is an American problem right now, right? And when it comes to Bel Air Road and comes to Perry Hall, and you take it to the State House and you're hearing more about it. Again, 15 years ago, Tony, when your boy was struggling, this was something we didn't talk about. And this drug, Tony, tell me about this drug. You understood about this drug long before I had ever heard of it or saw it on the back of a bus downtown, right?
We did. All I knew, you know what? It was a show. My husband and I were watching some documentary, and it was from Massachusetts, and they were training parents in Narcan. And I thought, well, why didn't we have that? Why didn't we have that? Because when we found Dan, that may have saved his life. I mean,
Narcan.
So Narcan is a brand name, but that's what a lot of people know it on the street in the communities. The prescription name is naloxone.
And what does this drug do? I've heard a lot about this drug. I've never really asked about it before.
So this reverses an opioid overdose, meaning heroin, Percocet, Vicodin, fentanyl. What it won't do is do anything of alcohol. If you're passed out from an alcohol intoxication, it's not going to help you. It's not going to hurt you, but it's not going to harm you. You could give it to a pregnant person. You could give it to a child. And it's been around for 40 years. So this is
readily available.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Not now, not until Senator Klausmeier. She led the way. Look, I bow down. I mean, without her efforts that year, and I'll never forget the conversation. She called me on my way home from work the day before Thanksgiving holiday. And at that time, I usually cried the whole way home in my car because I was by myself. I'm still a grieving mom. And she called and she just said, "Tony, we're going to sponsor this bill and we're going to make sure that this is in everyone's hands that should have it." And I was like, I could have floated home that night. I don't know if she knows that, but that was
I remember it was right before Thanksgiving, because that evening you had one of your meetings.
We did.
Yes.
At Grant's. Yes.
Senator Kathy Klausmeier is my guest. Anybody up in the Perry Hall area, please come on by for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. It's going to be on Friday from 2 until 5. We'll continue some more conversations. You know, I've talked to so many politicians where the opioid addiction is there. And I'll just give a little story of my own family over the last 2 weeks. I had a back procedure and spinal injections last Wednesday. They did not prescribe any Percocet, Vicodin, these things that maybe 10 or 15 years ago, any sort of thing that would have hurt. And my daughter-in-law had a dental procedure a week before where the insurance wouldn't pay for her procedure for a couple of grand, but they would give her all the Percocet and all the Vicodin she wanted. And Senator, I would say this to you and Tony as well, as a parent, I mean, a colleague parent, our kids were in the Perry Hall area at the same time 2 decades ago. I didn't think about heroin at that time, but I'll tell you what, being around football players and being around people in their 30s with maybe cocaine and other things that had happened, the Vicodin, Percocet, the prescription drugs that didn't sound like heroin, that come in a pill, seemed to be much more frightening to me 20 years ago. And Senator, I'll have you speak about that, because you seem very floored when all of this happened a decade ago. And you've been at this a long time talking to constituents. But the prescription drugs also is a big, big part of why this drug is necessary, correct?
Yes, I do believe that many people that I spoke to, there's, as you said, your daughter-in-law, this one woman, my son-in-law, he was a model citizen. I mean, he didn't do anything, and he had surgery or something, you know, hurt himself. And he got, you know, you get hooked on the pills, And
that can happen to anybody. I had knee surgery. And those pills felt good. I like those pills. I'm glad I don't have them, but I like those pills. They felt good.
The sad part is that, and I'll say the name Purdue, that drug company being sued right now. And in reading different articles and all, they would come in and say, these are not addictive. And they had thousands and thousands of these reps that would come in and go to doctor's offices and take the lasagna into the doctor's office and have lunch with them and push these pills. But I think that is not in existence anymore the way it was. I don't know if you know, Tony.
So here's my thinking on prescription drugs right now. We are, we're at this road where, you know, you start squeezing a balloon in one area, it's going to pop in another. So a couple of years ago, we started squeezing that prescription drug balloon. And yeah, I do agree with the senator that Purdue was very irresponsible with how they hawked their drugs. However, right now, our problem is that since prescription drugs are being very closely monitored and limited for people that really have severe pain, we never wanted to keep those drugs out, because right. I tell you, it does help. It does help some people. But what we have now are people are going on the street and purchasing what they think are oxycodone, what they think are Percocet, and it's pressed fentanyl. People are being poisoned because they can't get it from their doctor. We have people with legitimate pain, and what they're forced to do.
So Tony, tell me about Rally, and tell me about this last 10, 12 years, and obviously the pain of a grieving mother, and then reaching for governmental help, and then finding an advocate, right? And now here we are 10 years later, you're spending your time today with us trying to make sure that this doesn't happen to my kid or somebody else out in our audience. Tell me about the work you're doing right now and where the government's involved in this as well.
So I don't work for Rally, and I don't represent Rally, but I do know that they've tried to do some good things in the state. With getting rid of safe disposal of your drugs. And look, if that was our only issue, Nestor, is trying to safely dispose of our drugs, I think we probably wouldn't be having this long conversation. But what we're doing in the state is we have to move forward. When I think we have to do things way out of the box, that's way out. Our numbers are skyrocketing. And you know what? It's not going to get better. They're going to get much worse. We know that. We know that on the street. Any outreach worker, any boots on the ground know this.
Well, COVID was a real problem, right? I mean, locking people down for the last 2 years has been
very difficult.
Absolutely.
And we know it doesn't work. For 40 years that they've tried that, it doesn't work. We can't keep arresting because it's just not, we can't keep forcing people on. Folks that have, that want to come out of their addiction, there's options. There's options for them. You can't force them. You can't hog tie them. I just talked to a mother this week. Her son got out of 2 months in a hospital, 2 months for being shot in the face. And it was all, you know, drug related. And within 2 days, he's back out on the streets of Baltimore with a stomach tube. So that's how it's driven. He's not ready. He's not ready. We have to do more harm reduction. And when I say that, folks, you got to carry Narcan with you. Carry it in your purse. Carry it in your pocket. Put it in your car. Right now, one of the only bills our governor vetoed this year that would have really have done some work, he vetoed our decriminalization of paraphernalia, which means, Nestor, I have folks that we have, you know, work for us for outreach, that they do carry clean syringes and they do carry clean things for people, you know, cuts down on HIV spread and hepatitis. But you know what? If I get pulled over or if I get stopped on the street, I could get arrested for that. I could get arrested for paraphernalia. So the one thing that the governor could have done with advancing us a little bit more, he called it dangerous. That's not dangerous to save lives. I've had a saying for a number of years now, we have to save them, you know, before we can treat them. Just makes sense.
Senator Kathy Klossmeyer is here. Tony Torch is the voice you're hearing on behalf of Rally and the opioid addiction. We're keeping it really local here. Obviously, everybody from the Perry Hall, White Marsh area knows Senator Klossmeyer. Senator, tell me where we are in 2021 into 22, 10 years beyond all of this and your work. When you go down to Annapolis and this opioid problem, and we see it on national news, we see it locally, when constituents come to people like you to go to Annapolis to make a difference, where is that pressure point to getting things done and having a governor who vetoes things?
Well, that is a problem when the governor vetoes. And you said at the beginning of this that we all go down the same road and with this addiction, but it does take it. Politics gets involved. And, you know, I went through the last election with that happening because of a vote that I took. And this bill that Tony's talking about with the paraphernalia, I think what needed to happen is we just needed to have more conversations about it, more so than just on the Senate floor, because it got highly debated and it got it just went in every which way but loose. So afterwards, this past year, Tony and one of the other advocates and I sat down and we talked about it, and she explained just the way she did this time, because it was like it was a bill that nobody was even paying attention to it at first, but then all of a sudden it got political legs and started to go. But I think we'll probably have, I don't know, Tony, are you counting the votes?
I think we need one or two.
Okay.
Well you certainly would have time for that. I really appreciate you coming on and being expert about this. And Tony, so let me ask you, someone reaches to you and says, my son, my daughter has an addiction. Where do you send them? And same for you, Senator. I'll ask that question of both of you. But when someone reaches to you, Tony, what is your first line of defense to be where your son was at 17 and try to save that child?
I ask them to keep an open mind. I tell them the same thing I would have done had Dan still been alive. When people say to me, what would you have done differently? And I would say, then I would say to him, if you're going to use, leave your door unlocked. If you have relapsed, you have to let me know. It's not enabling him. It's just trying to keep him alive and having those open conversations. And I have to tell you, when people do finally take that huge step towards recovery, and you know, there is hope in recovery, the whole family has to go with them. There was a family that I, a very close family there, they would spend 2 weeks in the Outer Banks and they would take several cases of their Corona with them. And when their son admitted that he had a drug and alcohol problem, you know, they canceled their vacation. So instead of going on a sober vacation, they just said, well, we just won't go. So when I say that when someone goes into recovery, it may not be like that forever. You may be able to have your coronas at the next, you know, in a few years. But for now, the support is huge. It's not enabling. It's just support, just to be there.
As the son of two alcoholics, I have great appreciation. When you're talking heroin and you lose me a little bit because that was not in my vernacular, but when you're talking about, you know, beer and wine and alcohol, that certainly, you know, that defines a huge part of my childhood. So, and having parents that you couldn't reason with in that way, and trying to find a way to live with it. So I certainly have great appreciation for what you've gone through, and certainly deep respect for your work the last decade in trying to help this. Do you send folks to Rally, Senator? I know of your work. I want to understand a little bit more about what Rally does too.
Not so much with Rally, but they keep in touch with me. One thing that they do is I have it here.
Grab your notes. It's fine. Sure.
No.
Oh, there you go. No.
This is if you want to get rid of your pills and you don't feel like driving to one of the 10 police stations that have a pill take back. If you can get one of these, and I told the Rally folks today, if anybody calls and wants one of these, I'm calling and try to get these out. But you put your pills in here and they dissolve your pills and all. And I think it's important that you don't just throw them down the toilet, because if you do that, they go out into the water stream. And that's why there's funny looking fish sometimes out there. They mutate. So we've done that. We've got 211, the phone call that you can make to try to get help. Now, if somebody calls my office and they have a problem, you know what I do?
What do you do?
Tours. Call
Tim. Oh.
And
get some friends and family help. I love that.
Yes, that's why I said we intersect in all different ways. And it's been a pleasure knowing Toni Torsh and her family. And she has worked so very, very hard. She just had a big bull roast the other day for it. And she has money for the Torsh, Daniel Torsh Foundation. And if anybody calls and needs something, she's right there. She's 24/7.
Tony, tell me about your foundation real quick. Let's talk about that a little bit, because if somebody out there does have a reach, my wife's a two-time leukemia battler. So anytime anybody in the world gets leukemia in my world, they wind up calling my wife. I would think the same thing for your story over the last 10 years. When folks call you and reach to you, tell me about your foundation and about your bull roast and stuff. Because I like me a good bull roast now. I'm East Side.
Well, you would have loved this one. We finally got to be out. Very safe. We were spread out. Columbus Gardens did a fantastic job. I had to give them
I've had
club.
Columbus Gardens bull food, roast. I've drink, DJ'd over there. Yeah,
lots
absolutely.
Of great prizes. It was awesome. And to bring all these people together, and they know why they're there, and they still keep coming back. After this is our 10th year, they still keep coming back. It was wonderful. So what we do with the foundation is we help people into recovery. Sometimes we could pay for 1 week, 2 weeks, up to a month, because no insurance covers recovery housing, support services if they need food or clothing, transportation, you know, we're there. We have the safe, you know, we have safe use kits. We have clean syringes. We have support groups. We're connected with GRASS. That's Grief Recovery After Substance Passing that we started in May of 2011. So we have a variety of resources that we can help. And a lot of times it's just myself and another parent talking. Sometimes it's, you know, someone else talking to one of my other sons who are all also really heavily involved. John is the director of special programs. So he really has led the foundation deep into harm reduction. You know, look, Lester, I have to tell you, this is not where I thought my life was going to be at 62. I thought I was going to be on the beach somewhere selling hats, but it just, you know, what does that say? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So it isn't this, I guess this is where I'm directed. We help Just this past month, we helped, I think my latest statistic was 164 people came through us in one way or another, whether they were out on the street.
That's too many, right? We would agree with that. Well,
I can tell you that before the clock strikes 12 tonight, there's going to be 7 more Marylanders that will die of an overdose. 7, at least 7 today.
Well, it's not an easy story to tell, certainly, and you're taking your time. Senator, I appreciate you bringing this forward, our friends at KO as well, Tony, and your time as well. We're neighbors, right? I mean, literally, right? I'm going to be out having a crab cake with my old hockey buddy, Gary Ristling, here this week, right?
I want to know where you live.
Oh, I live right here. This is where I live. I live in Baltimore.
That's right. You said you live in Baltimore.
Oh, I lived in two places in Perry Hall. I lived in Silver Spring Station on Flanders Court, right down the street from Silver Spring Mining. And then I lived behind the Boomy Temple off King Avenue over by the community college. And I had Dr. Curtinitis on this week. So, yes, I'm sort of they adopted me in Perry Hall, and then they gave me back to Dundalk, and I wound up moving to the city.
Now, I have a question for you. You do these podcasts from your office.
I do.
Do you ever go on location?
I'm coming to location. I'm coming to Silver Spring Mining this week.
The Maryland Lottery sponsors
my crab cake tour. And every Friday, I bring people and constituents and stories and friends.
Sometimes there is
a Corona. I'm going to tell you. Sometimes it's Bud Light. Sometimes it's a crab cake. Sometimes it's waffle fries, you know. But I've decided that being cooped up for a year and a half, I needed to get out. So I'm getting out every Friday. So come on.
I would like if for you to really pay attention to the bill that Tony was talking about, the paraphernalia bill. And even if you come to Annapolis and just – when we know there's going to be a bill or something, and you can just see how it all works.
So. I need to know how the sausage is made. I've watched you politicians serve people. Senator, thanks for serving folks for the last two decades. I appreciate you taking some time. I'm sorry we haven't gotten together before. Tony, I appreciate you taking some time with a very valuable story and information for, you know, everybody out there. And thank you. I appreciate it. I want to promote Rally. Tell everybody that there is help out there. There's 211 help. There's good people in the community like Tony helping out. And the senator, I assume your door is open all the time, too. Even when I'm not in Perry Hall.
right.
I appreciate it. We'll get a crab cake together sometime
soon. Thank you, Nestor.
Senator Kathy Klausmeier joining us from Perry Hall and Baltimore County. And Tony Torsch, a fellow Perry Hall parent of Gators, joining us here. I'm going to be back in Perry Hall on Friday with Gary Ristling telling old hockey stories, without a doubt. David Marks is going to be joining us as well. Don Moeller will be back riding shotgun with me next week as well. The Baltimore County executive enjoying some time in the Big Apple with his wife, going show tuning. So we'll get to that later on in the week. Luke is out in Owings Mills watching all things Ravens and getting ready for the Ravens-Minnesota game as we celebrate Halloween and bye week and we round up at Wise Markets for our Paralyzed Veterans of America. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.